I'm always forgetting to take the keys from the office to open my clinic door at work. I leave the office without them, and I return 10 seconds later. No, I usually say to my colleagues, I'm good, but I really can't walk through walls. And they smile politely. I say it too much. I forget too much. We all doubt that I really might be able to walk through walls. We all doubt lots of things, don't we? And doubts come in all shapes and sizes, part of the human condition. Sometimes the doubts can be quite helpful. Doubting that that plank of wood across the gaping hole may hold my weight might stop me from plunging into the abyss. And doubting that I might be able to afford that gorgeous house or that that train will be on time might prove useful, so I'm a little shored up against disappointment when my savings account figures don't stack up or I have to wait a bit longer on a cold, drafty station. Maybe you've never had any major doubts, the ones that niggle away at your peace of mind, the ones that might even feel shameful to have. If life is pretty perfect, then why would you question yourselves or the universe or God at all? Because actually, it's in our more difficult times that we're more likely to start to doubt things, isn't it? Does anyone really like me? Am I up to finishing this sermon or that piece of work? Will my children grow up to be good citizens? Will I get over this illness? Does God love me? Does he even remember me? Where is God in the middle of Ukraine? Is he anywhere out there at all? Thomas's doubting was of that kind of larger variety, I guess, wasn't it? And perhaps that was a defense against disappointment too. Was this news about Jesus just the distorted imaginings of the others? Just a symptom of their pain in the midst of those appalling waiting days? It was quite a reasonable thing when you think about it. What's wrong with wanting to see with your own eyes? Quite a scientific approach. A man who isn't going to passively go along with the crowd and accept something completely beyond his experience. Understandable. Thomas first appears in John's Gospel when Jesus announces to his disciples that he's about to go to Judea to see Lazarus. Now, there was clear danger for Jesus in going to Judea, and yet it's Thomas who says to the rest of the disciples, let's also go that we may die with him, i.e. die with Jesus. Evidence, perhaps, that Thomas's devotion to Jesus was not in question. Later on, Thomas is with the other disciples at the Last Supper when Jesus tells them not to be troubled, that he's going to his Father's house to prepare a place for them and that they know the way to the place where he's going. It's Thomas who dares to ask, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Sounds honest and courageous, daring to say what the others must surely have all been thinking. A man who listened hard to his master and wanted to understand. And then there's this third event that we've just been reminded of today. A week before, Jesus had already appeared to the other disciples. Jesus had said, peace be with you. He'd breathed on them the Holy Spirit. He'd shown them his hands and his side, and they had been overjoyed. They would have surely mentioned all this in great detail to Thomas later on. And Thomas's response? Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And as we've just heard, a week later, Jesus responds directly to Thomas. Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. The evidence suggests that once Thomas saw Jesus and heard his own words repeated back to him, he didn't need to touch Jesus' wounds. It seems that the sight of Jesus and the fact that he offered to answer those doubts so specifically that this was proof enough. A sight that maybe brought Thomas to his knees and certainly led him to respond, "My Lord and my God." Thomas had wanted proof, and he had got it. His questioning led Jesus to a phrase which has been described as the last and greatest of the Beatitudes and the persistent treasure of the later church. "Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet have believed." John wrote his gospel in an age when there were all kinds of heresies among the early church. So John states his main purpose for writing. He's written what he's written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Jesus writes that he can't tell everything about Jesus, but what is told is enough. So Thomas's statement of faith in the divine nature of Christ identifies Jesus for all believers for all time and provides a very fitting conclusion to John's record of the path of faith. And I reflect that what I've written in describing the kind of man Thomas was feels like I'm defending him still, which itself implies it's wrong to doubt all things spiritual. And yet, because John has included this honest man's responses in his gospel, we see Jesus's quite respectful and beautiful response to him, which might help sustain us when we are struggling with faith or with trust. I'm so glad for Thomas. He might have been a bit mouthy, but he was honest. He hadn't lived long enough in a tradition of churchiness to know when not to ask those awkward questions, you know, the ones everyone else knows the answers to. He just said it like it was, plainly. And the amazing thing was, Jesus answered him plainly. Jesus took the initiative. He didn't forget the one who doubted, the one who really needed to know. Jesus offered Thomas a chance to see his resurrected body. He surely wanted relationship with him, the one who doubted, the one who wasn't with the others. Jesus was courteous, unafraid of close scrutiny, and allowed Thomas the freedom to question. I wonder, do we always do that in our listening to other people? We can worry about our doubts, though, can't we? Within our culture, we are meant to be strong and sure about everything, it seems to me. Throughout the pandemic, there was much talk about resilience, almost as if no one was allowed to buckle under, to have a hard time of it. We must all be strong and keep on going and be certain. And there's a danger that kind of belief or mentality spills over into Christian culture as well. We fear that we really shouldn't be questioning. We really should be very sure of our faith all the time and trust God all the time and know it all the time. But the Bible is full of hints and possibilities that take doubt seriously, that want to hear about it, as we see Jesus did. So I am glad for Thomas. Although it's often painful, doubt is always an invitation to move forwards, an opportunity to explore and grow. We sometimes keep our doubts hidden because we don't want to influence others in a negative way. I recently heard a psychiatrist talking on the radio saying how important it is to voice our fears and doubts. That if we remain silent, then the feelings or secrets get more powerful and may overwhelm us. talking aloud, keeping things in perspective, in proportion. It allows us to be heard, to not be alone. And of course, it allows others to respond. Do we dare to speak and to listen to each other within our Christian community? If we protect and hide our wounds, then our defenses become very powerful against the invitation to change. I think it takes courage to own our doubts, like Thomas. Because I don't want to live in a community created in the image of its own unfaced anxieties, where we learn how to behave properly, how not to show our own doubts or fears, where we just pretend all the time. How unreal is that? How dishonest is that? How dishonoring is that to ourselves and to God? And if you haven't listened to Tom Donaldson's beautiful doubt space on St. Michael's website, I would encourage you to do so. He interviews various folk about their doubts. It's honest and helpful and healthy, I think. The disciples recognize Jesus through his scars. If there is resurrection for a body scarred and wounded, then there's surely hope for us all, tainted mortals that we are. He was bruised for our iniquity, and by his wounds we are healed. However we view our doubts, Jesus knows and wants to respond to them and to us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. If we believe that John's purpose was partly to encourage the believers in their ongoing walk with Christ, then this passage speaks to me in all my doubts about what God is up to in my life and about what he feels about me. The writer Eddie Askew said the following: "Faith isn't the same as certainty. I am afraid of those Christians who are certain about everything. Certainty doesn't need faith. Faith is what I cling to when doubt and fear knock at the door." And in a disturbing and yet kind of comforting way, faith and doubt go together. Archbishop Welby said recently that they need to kind of dance together, our faith, our trust, and our questions. Faith isn't the conquering of all doubt and fear. It's the courage to believe in the midst of it. Asking questions and facing doubts can lead us into new truth, as I've said, or a deeper understanding of the truth we already hold. When Thomas encountered Jesus in his honesty and struggling, he wasn't rejected or mocked by Jesus or the other disciples. He was welcomed and taken seriously. By God's grace, he was surely called a loved child of God, full of potential and promise. At my lowest place, where I'm really not sure about any of it, there is my Master and Saviour. There is my God, standing before me with his wounds visible. In my experience in life, I've found that when I'm hanging on by my fingernails to the hem of his garment, or actually, if I'm really honest, sometimes not even bothering to hang on at all, I've found that God will not let me go. He is, in fact, hanging on to me, holding me in all my struggles and doubts. And I think that's glorious. The certainty of that renders doubt secondary, doesn't it? Once again, Julie, it's not about you, girl. It's about God. God's faith in us, for all of us. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And he will. Let's pray. Jesus, help us in our faith and when we struggle to trust you. Help us to know your heart of love. Thank you that you hold us tight. Amen.